constitutional history of the United States by a German historian. And in this constitutional history of the United States, he remarked on what he said was a very strange thing about this country. He said that in the middle of the last century, when there was a great war in which hundreds of thousands were killed in this country, he said that on both sides, the leaders were constantly saying that if they could be shown from the Bible that they were wrong, they would immediately change their position and agree with the other. There is no nation, probably, in the history of the world that has had as much of a Christian foundation as the United States had. Of course, there were people who came here in the early days in order to find wealth, in order to get away from the restrictions of life in Europe and so on. But there were a substantial number who came here with the desire and purpose of finding a place where they could worship God in accordance with the dictates of the Bible. And the Bible was given a place of honor and prestige in the United States during all of its early years, beyond what you find in most other countries at most any time. Most of our great private universities in the United States were founded for the express purpose of training those who would understand the Bible and who would present its teaching. I picked up a book I picked up a book by a professor in Temple University. I happened to run on to it in a bookstore in Ithaca, New York. A book by him, I forget the title of it now, but he discussed in a spurious from a secular viewpoint the origin of many of our great universities and colleges, and it was most interesting to read about the very solid Christian orientation and purpose that was characteristic of most of these schools when they were founded. There are comparatively few exceptions to that rule. 80 years ago in the United States, we had 6 or 8 large denominations differing on various matters of forms and ceremonies or perhaps some particular matters of doctrine, but practically all of them in their creedal statements and in the preaching of 9/10 at least of their ministers, standing solidly upon the Bible as the Word of God and upon the necessity of salvation through Christ, the impossibility of salvation in any other way. It was toward the end of the last century that a great modern missionary movement took a big stride forward, and the slogan was repeated all over this country, the conversion of the world within this generation. Now today we find a very different situation. Today we find that most of our old blind denominations, that in most of them, in the great bulk of the churches, you just never hear anything about Christ or about salvation. The ministers are preaching social improvement, social betterment, various attitudes towards social problems, giving a few words of praise for the Bible occasionally, but solid Christian teaching is mostly today in comparatively new or small denominations. How did this change come about? It did not come about suddenly. It did not come about with any great movement against Christianity. It did not come about because there was any great argument that convinced people that the Bible was wrong. It came about because certain individuals got into positions of great influence in educational institutions. And there they influenced others who became teachers in subsequent years. And in the course of time, there developed a situation where our universities and our theological seminaries formed in order to train people to present the Word of God became places where people's faith was torn down. I think it is all well summarized in 2 Corinthians 11. where Paul said in 2 Corinthians 11, verses 13 to 15, he said, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed, as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works." I do not like, in speaking in a general way like this, speaking about changes in institutions or organizations, to use precise names. I think there's always danger in any illustration in referring to individuals or to organizations. When one does, there's a possibility, particularly in free speaking like this, of saying something that is slightly inaccurate, which somebody misquotes slightly, and then you are quoted as having said something about some particular organization that is not true. So I like to refer in general terms, but to facts with which I had contact. Might mention our library as one illustration. The library, we are very fortunate to have the library that we do here at Faith Seminary. It's the library with another institution together over a period of about 50 years. They selected the books that they felt would be useful, and they trained students at that time. Now, there were some things in that institution that some emphases I don't altogether agree with in those years. I think there were seeds of weakness in the institution right from the time of its foundation. But there was in it a central emphasis upon learning what the Bible says and learning to present it. And that institution, through the course of the years, trained 3,000 Christian workers, men and women. Many of them became teachers or preachers or missionaries, and they had a very considerable influence. Now, in that institution, in the course of time, they got one or two teachers who began to raise serious questions about the truth of the Word of God. And these were nice people. They were very pleasant people. They were people who had good Christian character. And nobody liked a Christian. Somebody said, "Well, this man said that after all, Moses didn't write the Pentateuch. He said that there's not one Isaiah, there are two or three different people who wrote the book of Isaiah. And he said, after all, we're not sure creation is right in Genesis." But someone said, "Yes, but look what a wonderful man he is. Look what a fine influence that man had. We shouldn't be picking over these little points." And gradually you got into two or three like this, and then you got some who went a little further, and then you got some who went a little further than they, and eventually you got a situation where they got a president who was determined that the institution should be brought in line with modern thought. And this made two or three of the stalwarts quite upset with the way he was treating them, and they dropped out from the school, and then the board dropped him and got a man who was a little more subtle. When I went up to investigate about the possibility of getting this library, I talked to the president of the institution. The institution had changed its name. It had taken a different name, although it still kept relationship with its alumni. He was not only president of that institution, but he was also a professor in a theological seminary that is known for its modernism throughout the world. And he said to me, he said, "You know," he said, "that institution has 3,000 alumni," and he said, "they are fiercely loyal to the institution." He said, "We have hardly five in our institution that are as loyal to it as every one of those 3,000. I don't think he all realized my attitude, my viewpoint, but he might not have spoken quite so frankly. But I was impressed with the way that he felt about the difference between the students in this seminary, which had been quite solidly for the Word of God, and the seminary at which he was teaching. But under the influence of the change, the student body grew smaller and smaller, They changed it into an institution simply for training people for urban mission. They didn't need the theological books anymore. We were able to get them for our life. But I thought of the change that had taken place. And similar changes have taken place in probably 50 theological seminaries in this country. I know of one institution that when I was a student in seminary, our conservative fellows in the seminary welcomed the fellowship of men from this other seminary because they believed in the Word of God, they believed in the deity of Christ, they believed in its great teaching. I was talking to a man from that seminary about 5 years ago or two. He said practically all the teachers in that seminary now, he said, pay no attention to the Word of God anymore. He said, they teach in class that there is nothing wrong with adultery. He said, that's how far they have gone in their moral standards, which naturally and logically usually follow with turning away from the standards of the Word of God. We are facing a situation in America today, a situation which has come in gradually, but has become stronger and stronger in our country. And it is well that we be aware of this situation and that we learn how to meet it in the best possible way. As Paul said, Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. I went to a college which, a few years before I attended, had been one of the finest Christian colleges in this country. The new president, my last year there, told some Christian people, he said, this college has sent a larger proportion of its graduates into the mission field and into the Christian ministry than any other college in the country. And I didn't say anything to him in answer, but I said to myself, knowing the policies you are carrying on, I don't believe that will be true very long in the future. And I'm quite sure that it is not. In that college, they had a man who was teaching philosophy, who was very clever and a very pleasant personality. I loved to argue with him and argue with him for a very considerable amount. After I had been out of seminary 2 years, out of college 2 years, I went back and visited, and he introduced me to his new assistant of Union Theological Seminary. And he said, I think of McCray as sort of a lost soul. He was under my teaching 4 years and he's still a fundamental. One time I met this professor in Chicago where he was then teaching in the divinity school. And he said to me, what this world needs is regeneration through the Holy Spirit. Well, I thought, wonderful. So I said, now, annoying his attitude, I said, what do you mean by that? Oh, he said, that's simple. He said, when a man joins a community of Christians, there's an interaction between his personality and their personality, and they affect each other. And he said, that's what I call regeneration by the Holy Spirit. This man told me in Chicago that when he became a professor in the divinity school in the University of Chicago, he said, nobody here believes in God. He said, when I in my class would say something about God, the students would say, there isn't any God. What are you talking about? That was the Divinity School of the University of Chicago. But he said, nah, he's been there 2 years. He said, that's all changed now. He said, everyone here believes in God, nah. But what he meant by God was creativity. To him, God was not personal. God was not an individual. God was the principle of creativity. But in the beautiful, pious way that he talked about God, he could deceive the very elect if that were possible, as the scripture says. And we face a situation in America today, a situation in which great institutions, large denominations, all sorts of organizations that once stood for the Word of God have gradually been changed in this way. And I think it is, we ought to be aware of this situation. God calls upon each of us to know the Word of God. He calls us to go out and win souls to Christ. He calls us to do the constructive work of the gospel. And that is the primary thing. But He wants us to know the signs of the times and not to give our influence and our support to that which will advance unbelief. When I was in college, they had several ministers changed in our area. The college was in the town where I lived for a long time. And I was quite impressed with the fact that when most of the people in these good Christian churches were considering a new pastor, the question was, I don't quite like this man's voice so well. I like the others better. This man is more interesting to listen to. This man is more attractive looking in the pulpit, and all these things. When the difference between them was tremendous, some being very earnest students of the Word and some being people who absolutely denied the teaching of Scripture. And I made a resolution then that I would never speak in a way to advance the influence of anyone who is tearing down the Word of God. And that I would never speak in such a way as to decrease the influence of one who is truly standing for the Word of God. I believe that these are questions that we have to face, we have to meet, we have to deal with situations as they arise. It is most sad to think of some of our the great missionary movements that have sent out hundreds of great Christian missionaries who have led thousands all over the world to the knowledge of the Lord, and how younger missionaries sent out by these same boards in the last 50 years have been denying the Word of God, presenting unbelief, and raising a situation where the local people are just upset and disturbed and can't understand what is happening. I know of many churches in this country where the older people have heard the Word of God in truth, and they love it, and they love the church. And now they have younger ministers who are denying the Word of God, and their young people from these families are just losing interest in the church. It's not having any effect on their lives, and these older people are baffled. They're like sheep without a shepherd. They just don't know which way to go. They don't know what's wrong. They don't know why their families are not being affected by the church the way they were when they were young. We indeed have Satan very active transformed into an angel of light. In a situation sometimes it appears almost hopeless. I don't think it appears as bad now as it did 10 years ago. But it sometimes appears just hopeless the way these things have been taken over by those who deny the Word of God. Jesus said, "Woe unto him that shall lead one of these little ones astray. It were better for him that a millstone were tied about his neck and were cast into the depths of the sea." But the thing is that the people who lead astray often were led astray themselves in the same way. And you just often don't know where to fix the blame. When I was studying at the University of Berlin, they asked me to preach in the American school, in the American church. And I just didn't feel I could do it because I had a fellowship to go over there and study the Old Testament. And so I said, I can't do it. But then I said, I'll be willing to preach two Sundays out of every month. I'll take two and then you get somebody else to the other. So they got a graduate of another seminary, the same denomination to which I belong. And he was an awfully nice fellow. Very, very fine character, came with the finest of Christian background. But he had gone through a good, formerly Christian college, where gradually he lost his faith. And then to a seminary that formerly had been really Christian, where he had gradually lost more and more. Until now, he just loved the church, and he was a very lovely fellow. But his whole view was utterly changed from when he had been a boy. One morning, when we would preach, he would preach on the glory of the conquest, and on how Jacob believed in the tribal God. And once he went across the Jordan, he was in the area of another. And I would preach on the resurrection, salvation through Christ, and the people like both of them. Most of them didn't seem to see much difference. But as I preached, I see him sitting in the front row with his face just twisting in agony. And I don't know whether mine showed my feelings as much when he preached or not. One night we were having a cup of chocolate together in a restaurant one evening, and I referred to his sermon, to his prayer previous Sunday morning. And I said, "You know, it sounds to me as if you believe in the deity of Christ." "Oh," he said, "I have no difficulty with the deity of Christ." I said, "You don't?" "Well," I said, "what do you mean by deity?" "Oh," he said, "that's simple." He said, "God is a symbol for ethical values, just like Uncle Sam is a symbol for the United States." Well, I said, "How can you pray to God then?" "Oh," he said, "you can address a stick or a stone. You can talk to the ocean." Well, here he was, the pious monk, and the man who really had a desire to do good. I know he did tremendous harm. Last I heard, he was pastor of the biggest church in that denomination, one of our states. He did tremendous harm in his life. But I know that he was the effect of these who transformed him and changed him as they were of others. We face a situation where Satan transformed into an angel of light. And it makes it much more complicated to serve the Lord in these days than it used to be. As Jesus said, "He that gathereth not with me scattereth." And if only our leaders in our denominations, in our colleges, in our seminars had realized that and kept these men out, kept them from getting a foothold, we would be in an entirely different situation than we are today. I remember at the Princeton Seminar, when I went there teaching the Word of God, standing in the truth. Today, you find utterly different teaching there. But I read about something about the history of Princeton Seminary when I was there. And I found that sometime before I went, they had invited a man to come and be professor of the New Testament, who was a graduate of the seminary a good many years before, and was quite noted in the New Testament field. And this man wrote back and he said, "I would not think of teaching in an old mossback institution like yours with these out-of-date ideas that you have." The thing that impressed me wasn't how that man had changed, but the fact that the directors of that institution did not investigate more fully before they invited him to become a professor in that institution. That, of course, is what has happened over and over. God wants us to show true Christian love to all who name the name of Christ. But God wants us to be open-eyed and watching situations in order not to allow Satan to get in that which has formerly been true to the Word of God. Now this whole subject will be discussed much more at length by Mr. Crawley in this course in Modern Religious Problems, the next semester. And when we are together, all people who truly believe the Word of God, it's easy to forget these situations. But as we go out into the world, God wants us to be aware of it. He wants us to see development, and he wants us to see how we can make our influence come with the Lord in every aspect. Let's pray. God, our Father, we know that you have told us in your word that Satan is transformed into an angel of light. We know, our Father, that it is impossible for us to resist his attack or his wiles in our own strength. You have said to us that if we submit ourselves to God and resist the devil, he will flee from us. Our Father, we pray, help us to judge by their fruits. Help us to judge righteous judgment. Help us not to judge on the basis of personal quality or inferior question, but by that which is right. So, our God, we pray for each here that you will help us in our contact, in our cooperating, in our work, to make our lives count for our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask our Savior's